Hello, and welcome to the Osterman Research Podcast. I'm here today with Monica Seeley of Mizmo Consultancy. Monica, welcome to the podcast.
Well, Michael, thank you, and thank you so much for inviting me. It's both an honor and a pleasure to do this with you. We've known each other so very many years, so thank you.
Well, thank you as well. Please give us an overview of Mizmo Consultancy, the types of work that you do, and so forth.
Okay, I'm often asked what MESMO stands for, and basically it stands for Managing Email Smartly Maximizes Opportunities. So from that you will gather, we specialize in everything to do with email management from the people and processes aspect. That is to say, we run workshops, now they're more like webinars, training people how to manage their email more effectively. I do a lot of one-to-one coaching with executives and their PAs, how they can work together to reduce the volume of email that they both deal with. I write, I seem to be the BBC and Financial Times go-to person if something explodes like an email gate. And of course I write books. I'm just onto my fifth book all around email management, except this one is more about digital management. Visiting fellow at Cass Business School, which is part of City University, and for a while also I now live in Dorset at Bournemouth University, and that is roughly us. We work with organizations of all shapes, all sizes, all over the place, all over the world.
Well, very good. Thank you for that overview. So we've all heard about information overload, and specifically email overload. Just how serious a problem is it today?
That's an interesting question. I think it is as serious. I am hearing from a lot of people that email overload has become increasingly serious. I ran a very brief survey to try and put some numbers around this before we did this podcast, and it's very interesting. About 40% think that the email, the volume they have to deal with, hasn't changed. About 37% think its email has increased by 20%. And another 23% feel the volume of email that they are dealing with has increased. And I'm not just saying this because it's my business, but I think email overload is still the biggest drain on our productivity and our well-being. What I am seeing as well is now with so very many different media that actually information overload is becoming an issue, because now I get messages coming from email, from WhatsApp, if I'm on Teams, I get the messenger, I get text messages. And I get the phone, that old-fashioned thing. People actually pick up the phone. So I'm also seeing a huge increase in information overload as well.
So how does it affect us? How does information overload affect us? You talked about a reduced quality of life. What are the real impacts that information load has?
I think it has several. We can only process so much information. And I think one of the challenges is, first of all, what is the medium I go to first to look at to get my information? I guess if I look at myself, it is primarily still email and socially WhatsApp. So I will probably check both. Then, of course, there is social media to go and check. So what is the impact? The impact is, firstly, where do I go for my email, or where do I go for my information, so that it can, and secondly, there is so much of it, and it's picking your way through who are the key senders, what are the key things I need to focus on, and that to some extent drains one's productivity to focus on the things in hand, because you're now faced with all this information. And you've got a whole load of other tasks to do, real tasks, like write a presentation, and yet you're being constantly bombarded with information. So I think it stresses you. It unbalances the work-life balance, because even if you're working from home, you've probably been in some sort of video conferencing a lot of the day. And so you're then left with at 6 o'clock catching up on all of these communications that are sitting in other places that have not been deemed urgent. So that affects the well-being as well as the work-life balance. And that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people.
That's very interesting. So what do you recommend is the best ways to reduce information overload?
Okay. I think that if we're talking about information overload rather than email overload, which perhaps we'll come back to in a minute, I think for the whole information overload, it is about, I think the one thing organizations haven't done, whether you're large or small, is worked out which are the channels you're going to use. And once you've worked out which are the channels you really want to use, whether it be internally and with customers, they've not produced any clear guidelines. They've not produced any training for people. For you and I, it's probably obvious. We pick a piece of technology up, we're happy to fiddle with it, work out how it works. We've been in the game too long. And probably for the really young, but then the workforce in that sort of middle age group are not so savvy. So I think the first thing is about, as an organization, even as an individual, just thinking about which are maybe the one, two, or three channels that I really want to use. And you can't control everybody else, but you can control what's within your remit. So you can decide, I am only going to use these channels. And if somebody else wants to contact me a different way, I will look at that from time to time, but I will remind them that if they want me, these are my three channels. I think then it's about thinking, which channel am I using for what and when, and depending where I am. And I have a small framework called my PNDP framework. It's about what is the level of privacy I need with that message. Now, if it's very private, it has to be the phone. Because remember something like email, I only have control over one thing, that's hitting the send button. I have no control over what you, Michael, will do with it once I've sent it to you. I then have to think about the number. How many people do I want to reach? If it's a lot of people, do I quickly call a video conference? Do I send an all-user email? It's about as well the delicacy. How delicate do I really need to see your face? So if I do, I will jump on these days a conference call, or I will phone. I want to hear how you are reacting. Email is great, but you can't tell any emotions. So if I hear you say, thank you, are we saying, thanks, you've just dumped on me. Thank you, it's a compliment. So it's that sort of level. And then it's also the P is how permanent is the information I'm conveying. And I guess I'm talking at it from a sense of how do I manage it? How do we manage the different medium? So I know you can keep all your WhatsApp and some organizations will archive all their messages, and you can record the video. But again, it is about thinking through, do I need an audit trail? And I think what I'll often find is I start off on a video conference, and at the end of it, I may need an audit trail. And therefore, I will have to send, say, an email, which is very permanent. I may write a letter, but the challenge then becomes, how do I keep a copy of it? So the likelihood is that I will either write a letter, or if I'm on Teams, I will post it somewhere, whether it be Teams, Slack, any of the other collaborative tools, OneNote maybe. So that's, I think, the challenge is about the narrowing it down. What is the best medium so that I can convey the right message right first time?
Okay, very interesting. Now, you mentioned email overload as distinct from information overload. How do people deal with email overload? And I ask because in all of our research, we still find that email is the primary channel through which people communicate. Despite all of the video conferencing and chat tools and so forth, people still communicate primarily through email. So how do we deal with email overload specifically?
I'm heartened, Michael, to hear that from you, because of course that is my business and that's what I'm seeing. And I think that people have been talking about email going away for years. It's interesting. It's one of the longest remaining pieces of technology. It's been with us for 30 odd years. So, okay, I think there's a number of ways that people, easy ways people can deal with email overload. One of the first is to remember that the more email you send, the more you are going to receive, so that not every email needs a response. I think people often feel every time you send me an email, I must respond. And so we go around playing email ping pong, which gets us nowhere. And neither of us knows when to stop saying thank you. So there's recognizing that when to end the conversation and just say, you've asked me the question, I've said yes, end of conversation. I think then the big area is about filtering, and it's about treating your inbox as an information highway and deciding very simply which emails do you want down the fast track straight into your inbox and which can you filter out into folders and then use the technology. Obviously in Outlook it's very easy, you can use the search folders, and I think Gmail has a similar thing, to just see a virtual overview of all the emails that you want, but they don't necessarily have to come in the fast lane straight into your inbox. So I think filters, rules, whatever you want to call them. But the underlying thing is you have to do the hard work of working out what is high priority to me. I think the other thing is, the third thing is thinking about switching off all those new mail notifications. Anyone who's heard me talk before will know this is my bete noire. And people will say, because they're distracting. And people will say to me, but how am I going to see the important email from Michael? He's a key contact. Well, it's easy. You can write a rule so that you switch off your new mail notifications, but emails from you, Michael, pop up, because you are one of my key contacts, whether that's internally, client, supplier, but you limit it. So there's a lot of hard work into working out what do I really need to see. And I think if we're just looking at a few tips and hints for people, one of the other, so we can filter out. We can also look at why am I on copy so many lists and try and get ourselves off all the low priority emails. And if we can't get ourselves off, at least write a rule or a filter to send them somewhere that doesn't distract us. And I think the last thing really in this podcast to talk about is that whole area of setting boundaries, outside which I don't deal with my email. It's also about setting boundaries during the day and saying, I'm going to have a break. And I have a 20-20-20 rule. I will deal with either the task, whether that's my inbox or writing a presentation for 20 minutes. I will look after my health by then refocusing my eyes for 20 seconds on something 20 feet away, because it's very easy to get sucked into all of the email and end up with not just old-fashioned repetitive strain injury, but also mental fatigue and eye fatigue, dehydration. So there's a big part there in keeping our well-being going. I could talk for hours on how to deal with email overload, Michael.
No, I appreciate your points. Very good information. So, you know, we've all heard about the work from home phenomenon. We have been involved in it, obviously. How has that impacted email overload? And I ask because I was intrigued by the results of your survey that found that email has actually been increasing. So have you found that as a result of people working from home?
I have. And, you know, it bears out something, a piece of research I remember from maybe 20 years ago, buried in the archives, that as people get more fearful, the volume of email goes up because they start chatting amongst each other. A typical scenario would be a takeover bid. And people start chatting about, well, what's happening? And I think you have to liken this COVID pandemic. People are fearful about the impact on, they're fearful about finances, they're fearful about their job, they're fearful about not being able to see their boss. And we talked a little bit about working from home. So some of it is this underlying, I've got to keep emailing so that everybody knows I'm here and I'm working and I'm not down on the beach today. But also, if you look at it and think, how do I get my notifications of new posts on social media platforms and collaborative platforms? They come by email, most of them, unless you switch them off. But if you're working in a collaborative environment, you need to know that somebody's posted something. So you could write a filter. But I think that they come through two things. They come through the feeling of, it's almost fear of FOMO, fear of missing out in some way, which derives from fear of not going, not knowing what is going on and being worried. And the fact that all of these platforms ultimately send you some form of email. As you said, email is still here and it's the most generic platform.
Mm-hmm. To what extent do you think that new communication tools like Zoom, Teams, and so forth are going to impact email overload ultimately?
That's a very good question. There's a lot of talk that they will go down, but again, if you think about it, we've had a Zoom chat just before we started. You said to me, you would send me something, one of your reports. And so at the end of a Zoom conversation, invariably, certainly the ones I've been on, I'm a non-executive director on a board in the hospitality industry. I run a task force for that organization. We will have a conference call. Somebody goes and writes up the minutes or the results of that, comes by email. I do not perceive it going down. Whether it will eventually level off back to where it was perhaps before COVID, before the COVID pandemic, I think that might happen, but I don't see it going away for maybe another 5 years, 10 years, perhaps until email has gone away completely, and I don't think that will happen. So I think it will be there in the background, but we will learn to control it again and not drive it up.
So do you think we'll be trading maybe email overload for video conferencing overload, or will we be getting sort of an additive effect where we now have too much video conferencing and too much other forms of communication on top of email overload?
The short and simple answer is yes. And that goes back a little bit to the beginning, is people saw Zoom and they thought, this is how we must communicate. And, you know, before I knew it, my diary was full of Zoom conference calls, and it's a rather like the meeting culture, isn't it? Did I really need this? I think we are just layering up new technology, and very few people are stepping back and saying, okay, we will only use these three. So I see them being layered up, and I'm certainly hearing a lot of people now writing about Zoom overload. It's the new toy, the new girl or boy on the block, isn't it? I use it socially, and I get to the end of the week and I think I can't stand another Zoom call of any sort. I'm glad we're doing this by audio.
Yeah, very much so. I agree with you. So what are the two or three most important things that you could recommend for people to begin managing their overload from email, from Zoom, from Teams and so forth, things that they could put to use right away?
Well, I think I mentioned a few of them. I think one is Andy Groves had a wonderful, wonderful saying in his book, Only the Paranoid Survived. First of all, identify who your Cassandras are, i.e. who are the key, whether they are key suppliers, people, or key newsletters, and then filter out all the rest, but make sure you really listen to the people who really supply you with information that you need. I do think setting boundaries, after which you switch off, is very, very important. And I think, again, thinking about trying to, without trying to repeat myself, but trying to limit the number of different channels and trying to not surf them. I suppose the best examples are social media. So again, using the tools of social media to have the key people you follow. I think that's the crucial part. So finding your Cassandras on the social media, finding your Cassandras on the collaborative platforms you use, and not being a purveyor of, turn it round, let's be positive, only post and send good quality information. The best example I can give is the number of emails in my draft box, because I'll draft it and I'll think to myself, why am I sending that? What do I actually want from that person? Nothing. It's all been said. I think that's the other key thing is make sure you post quality information yourself.
Very good. Well, Monica, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us here today. You've provided us with some great information and maybe a new way of thinking about how we manage information and how we deal with email and other tools. I appreciate you being here.
I appreciate the opportunity to share my thinking with you, Michael. Thank you.
That wraps up this podcast. We will look forward to seeing you on the next one. Thank you so much.